Welcome to Conversation Street, episode 177. I'm Gemma.
I'm Michael.
And this week we're talking about the episodes of Coronation Street that were broadcast in the UK between the 23rd and the 26th of November 2015.
Yes, that is right.
Because they snuck an extra episode in.
Yeah, they did yesterday. We didn't expect that coming.
And caught us by surprise, and due to a series of unfortunate events, we have not had time to watch the other two episodes. So we hope that you enjoy this anyway, because if you don't, there's no refunds.
No, it's quarter to 11 now, we still haven't watched, so we thought,
rather
than just watching it, and then
perhaps we don't have time, maybe.
So sorry, everybody.
So, moving on to more exciting things, we'll do Corrie history now. It's been 40 years since there was a break-in at the Rovers, which caused Annie Walker to fall down the stairs and knock herself unconscious. And to be frank, if I had the option today, that's the sort of thing I'd be looking at finishing off the day with. But unfortunately, we don't have stairs.
No.
So it's not possible.
Sadly not.
We do have a step, but it's not quite the same thing.
20 years ago, it was the last episode of Reg Holdsworth. He got a managerial position in the Fresco Halifax branch. So he went and philandered up there and probably felt
lucky
up all the
duck.
Shop staff.
Probably found it very boring.
Why?
After working in Coronation Street. No, not very many scandals in Halifax. 10 years since Violet dumped Jason after discovering he'd slept with Sarah.
Off screen, we have got 90 years ago to this week since the late Stephen Hancock was born. He just died recently, and it would have been his birthday this week.
It would have been 90. 65 years since Harish Patel, Uncle Umed,
we love him,
was born. He lives with Auntie Pam.
And 35 years ago since Warren Jackson was born, who was the first actor to play Nick Tilsley.
Out of three?
Yes. Yeah, because it was him, and then it was Adam Rickard, and then good old Ben Price now.
Yeah.
Getting older and older.
Let's not talk about it.
Right. So we are going to do a fairly short show today. We're going to do street talk, a little bit of news and some feedback. We did have a middle section prepared, but we have not got time, sadly. But we're going to move our Terence Maynard's... that's the actor's name. What's the character's name?
Tony.
We're going to do his character profile next
week. Which will be something for everyone to look forward to.
Yes, but for now, let's get on.
Street talk. In Street Talk, we have got five main storylines that took place over the last... How many episodes is it? Four?
Four episodes ago.
Luke's racy secret.
I thought that was good this week.
You did, didn't you?
Yes.
Battersby battered.
I think she's been battered for the final time.
One can only hope.
He's...
Ginger at the gym. I didn't have anything to do with that name.
No, I just came up with it just recently. It's not very
and
good,
then,
is it?
Deverica Developments. It sounds like a new load of apartments that are being built.
I just came up with those storyline titles in about 10 seconds.
That sounds like an alternative name for like El Dorado.
What?
What was the name? Was that the name of that soap? El Dorado?
Yeah. Deverica Developments.
Yeah. Don't you think it sounds like a dodgy soap that's on Channel 5?
And there's two scene worth of losing hope, wasn't there?
Losing hope. Just to remind us, it's Christmas and she's still sick and Santa hasn't brought her anything.
She can't decide whether she wants... Look, last time she wanted, she says, can Father Christmas make me better?
No.
And this week she's like, I don't want any more medicine. Make up your mind, Hope.
Make up your mind. You can't have both
one
ways, kid. Sorry, them's the breaks.
Luke's racy secret this week. It was revealed.
Tell you what happened.
You tell me.
Well.
Tell each other.
Okay, all right then, you tell me.
Well, Andy thinks that Steph's looking at Rhodes and he was taking fashion tips from Aiden at the beginning of this week because his shirt was like unbuttoned almost down to the belly button.
I don't want to see men's, what are they called? Chests. They're horrible. Sorry.
Mine's nice,
I haven't seen any, I've never ever seen a man with his shirt unbuttoned and been grateful for the experience.
Oh. I'm sure some of our other lady listeners would enjoy it, though.
Maybe. But, you know.
Anyway, he thinks
play to your strengths, Andy.
Yeah, my shirt is always fully buttoned.
Good for you.
He thinks that she's looking a bit worried, and she thinks that Luke's ignoring her, and she's starting to worry about the racing again. So Luke's getting a phone call from Jamie, because there's this race on Monday night, and he's like, yeah, I'll be there, but he's pretty mad about it. And he's so mad that he throws some kind of metal car tool at the wall, doesn't he? And that makes Sophie come out, and she's started power dressing recently, hasn't she?
She's terrible.
She's gone from shop assistant to executive in the space of a few weeks, and she comes out to investigate.
I'm sure she's getting tips with Sally. Although she's probably ignoring them all.
That'd be quite interesting, funny scenes to see, wouldn't it? Sally trying to tell Sophie, now you're new to the world of business.
Yeah.
Let me take tips from your mum.
Sophie, you're an executive now.
Do you know how to use Excel? Because I can teach her.
I can lend you some nice jackets, but you'll have to buy your own.
Anyway, he tells her to mind her own business as she kind of skulks back in again.
Steph and Andy go to find Luke at the garage, but he's gone out on a breakdown. And then along comes Jamie and says, you and me should go for a drink. And Andy's like, no, I'm going as well.
Yeah, Steph she agrees, doesn't she, for some reason. So she just wants to know what's going on between him and Luke, and is he racing? And he doesn't say so much, but he kind of pretty much confirms it, doesn't he? But he says nothing's going to happen to him, he'll be fine.
And she's like, where's the race? And he's like, not telling you. I mean, there isn't one.
Yeah, she doesn't know at that point that there's a race tonight or anything, does she? Because that's what happens later on. Jamie catches Luke in the garage later, and pretty much she gives him no choice but to race. And Sophie's overhearing and says, what? There's a race tonight? I must tell people. So she rushes over to find...
It's like Paul Revere.
Steph and Luke, and they all head out to stop him. So this is where we got to see the cool on-location scenes of the race. And even though they kind of said it was street racing in the past, I kind of imagined it being at a big racetrack or something like that. But it was...
Really? But, okay, they said it was street racing.
I know, I kind of... Yeah, I think I made it up in my mind.
I think you just kind of like... hear what you want to hear.
I did, but it was just out in the streets, wasn't it, with all these crowds of people over a bridge,
yeah,
in some kind of suburban,
well, it was looked like it was sort of on the very outskirts somewhere.
Yeah, it sounds
so
like
there's hardly any traffic.
Yeah,
and they basically raced up and down a road and went round some cones.
I thought it was very, very exciting. I thought it was a bit different for Coronation Street, wasn't it? It's like, ooh, it's like the Fast and the Furious. I enjoyed it. I don't think Steph was amazing there. I mean, her role during the scene was to kind of go, oh, and then put her mittens over her face so that she couldn't see. I mean, and just like watching real racing on TV, which is incredibly boring, this was just kind of round, and then they kind of show it again round, and then show it again round, and until they've had enough of it. But
I'm sure there's more rules to it than that.
I did find it quite exciting.
So Jamie tells Luke, you better not lose before the race starts. But then when the flag goes or whatever, and both drivers are supposed to start, Luke just sits there for a few seconds. And then he
ends up doing again?
Behind for the drama. And there's more drama as they go around cones. And Steph can hardly watch, which is more drama. And then Luke wins, which is very... dramatic.
And he's very pleased with himself at winning his own. He doesn't just seem pleased, like relieved that he's going to be able to give this money to Jamie, but he kind of likes the thrill of winning still, doesn't he?
Well, of course. I think you'd be the same.
Yeah.
I think anyone who's slightly competitive, he must be competitive. He must have a competitive streak to even be in, have been in it to start with, because let's not forget he used to do this for fun.
So anyway, he gets out and then immediately gets attacked by Steph, who's like, going, what
I
are you
can't
doing
believe it. Why did you do that for like... then the police start to come. Oh my gosh,
of course
everybody has to rush into cars. Steph and Luke end up in a car together, and Andy ends up somewhere else. And then Steph's saying, why did you do it? And he said, I didn't have a choice, I did it for you. Never mind, don't worry about it. And she's like, what are you talking about? And he says, okay, Jamie's got photos of you from when you were going out. And Steph goes, oh, he kept them. She could have said something like, they must be Photoshopped.
Yeah, that's the line to say, yeah. Isn't it? Isn't that me?
Luke says, look, I've been blackmailed here. I would delete them. Jamie said he'd delete them if I won, and I did, so it's fine, so don't worry about it.
This is the first opportunity where Steph should have said, let's go to the police. And that could have happened quite a number of times during this week, to be honest.
We did have a discussion about this, and as usual with Coronation Street, there's a glaring plot hole that could have been resolved in a very small amount of time. All that had to happen was Steph should have gone to Jamie, you can't threaten us because I'll go to the police and tell them that you're blackmailing me. And Jamie should have said, I don't care, I'm so desperate, I've got nothing to lose. If I don't get this money, my life's not worth living anyway. I don't care if I go to prison. If you go to the police, all I have to do is press one button and they'll be uploaded and you'll never get them off the internet.
Mm.
They'll go to everyone you know instantly, and that'll be the end of you.
But the police,
if I'm going down, so are you.
The police weren't even mentioned, were they?
No, they. That's the thing. They never mentioned it once, and it's been quite. It's been in the news.
It has
been
in the UK. It's because it's only been recently. Yeah, probably criminalised. The police are probably like, "Oh, a new crime."
Oh, yeah, brilliant! I love new crime.
Put it up to the top of our priority list.
Was it on Twitter as well? Because I had training in that.
So yeah, she tells him to she meets up with Jamie later and says, right, delete the photos then, and he's like,
no, I've got a lot of debt and I've lost my job.
Do you feel sorry for Jamie in any way at all? Are we supposed to feel sorry for him?
If I had something like a blackmail someone with, yes, I would definitely be doing it right now, because I can't think of an easier way to make bucket loads of cash.
It worked for him, didn't it? But he did look pretty desperate.
It is quite convenient for him that he knows somebody who can do some illegal street racing to earn him some dough. Because I don't really know who I'd blackmail.
No, we haven't got anyone, have we?
No one I know has got any money to give me anything.
Do you think he could have, like, sold Steph's pictures to some premium adult site?
I don't know.
Depends how
I think they're to a penny on the internet, to be frank. I think there's lots of nude pictures. I think if you Google Steph, nude though. Pictures...
Tisha Mary? No.
I bet you some people have photoshopped some.
Bet they have.
We'll find out later.
You're going to go and search for that after the podcast finished. Anyway,
incognito mode.
she I can't remember what even happens at the end of the episode.
She's telling Jamie to delete him. He's saying no. And she says, it doesn't matter whether you need the money. You don't have the right to use intimate photos. And he says, oh, you shouldn't have let me take them in the first place.
This is lesson to the audience, isn't it? It's like ladies who are watching.
No, you can't ever say that.
I think it's supposed to be informing people to be careful of what they have photographed.
No, because it's illegal. It's like saying, no, it's a crime. They're being quite irresponsible.
Is a crime about...
No, let me finish. It's a crime. You don't ever get the feeling watching, for example, Tina being murdered, thinking to yourself, to be fair, she did have a lot of enemies. Maybe she shouldn't have been so annoying.
Shouldn't have stood on the edge of the builder's yard.
Yeah, you can't blame the victim in this instance.
Okay.
But personally...
No, I'm not blaming the victim.
Personally, I would never be in a position, because I can't understand why you would do this at all. It just seems like asking for trouble.
I think it's asking for trouble, to be honest.
But you can't blame the victim.
No, you can't. So Wednesday then, Steph and Andy go and see Luke at the garage, and Andy is pretty mad at him.
Andy
obviously.
Doesn't know what's going on.
He just knows
that Luke has made Steph upset because he's racing and he won't stop. So he knows something's going on, but he doesn't know what it is, and he storms off all frustrated.
I'm finding Andy less and less interesting as the months go on.
He's become quite superfluous.
I really enjoyed the story where he was pretending to be Gavin, but he's just generic, token, bland.
Hasn't he? Yeah.
He's barely been in it for 6 months, and we were saying, where's Andy? And now he's back, and he's...
It's like... He's a good-looking lad with a heart of gold, and eye for the ladies.
He doesn't seem to have much of a personality,
fault.
And when he's kind of like threatening people, he's like, really?
I don't know if you would do that, because you are a bit of a wimp. Because the last time anything bad happened, you tried to run away several times.
Yeah.
Anyway, Steph tells Luke she is fed up with taking the flak for what Jamie's doing, and Luke's complaining as well. They both don't like the situation, so Steph says, I'm going to go and tell Andy. But before then, she meets up with Jamie in the car, and she's trying to appeal to him again and saying, oh, we used to love each other.
How could you do this?
Before they get far into this conversation, Luke drags him out of the car. But then Jamie says, oh, who do you think you're threatening? I'm the one with the pictures.
Yeah, so then Thursday then, Jamie's still lurking about, and Steph bumps into him. And he says, right, I'm going to go and speak to Luke about the next race. Along comes Andy, shouting his mouth off again. Why are you speaking to each other? What's the big secret? And Jamie's
like, oh, maybe you should tell him.
Yeah.
So the next thing we see is Steph and Andy from a new angle.
Yeah, that was some new steps, wasn't it? I don't remember seeing those before. It was like, was it around the side of the factory or something like that?
It was an alternative angle.
They seem to be opening up the set, creeping up to where this new garage is.
Taking lots of angles that involve you seeing through garages or round corners where this new garage is going to be.
Yeah, because I don't remember
seeing
it so much.
So that when it appears, you're not going to be like, where the hell is that supposed to be?
No, I mean, we recognise the place where they're buying this new garage, but yeah, lots of open-backed Webster's Auto shots at the moment, aren't they?
Yes.
With it prominently in the background, and we're seeing new garage shots. They're just getting us used to it.
We catch the tail end of this conversation between Steph and Andy, and she's like, that's why he's got naked photos of me. The end. She says it was a ridiculous, drunken mistake. And she said, he says, oh, how could you do such a thing? Which makes me think that Andy said, hey, Steph, do you want to take some naughty photos? And she said, no. And he's just annoyed.
Yeah. What she have said, you got that I haven't?
Yeah, she says, are you really blaming me? And Andy says, no, I just can't bear the thought of it happening. And so Steph says, Luke has to race, there's no other way, and it's all my fault. And then she walks off all sad.
Mm.
And Andy and Luke end up arguing in the garage, and Luke says that Jamie only wants money. He doesn't want to hurt Steph, so as long as they do what he says, Steph's safe. Steph again tries to meet up with Jamie, this time in the pub.
I loved this scene this week. I thought that Tisha thought Murray did a really, really good job of... she's basically trying to call his bluff, wasn't
well,
she?
Well, he says to her, there's no point us having a conversation unless you found a few grand down the back of your sofa. There's nothing's changed. And as long as Luke races, everything's cool. And Steph says, no, it is not cool. I've had to tell Andy about these photos, and if you cared about me, you wouldn't do it. And he says, I haven't got any choice. Luke has got to race. And she says, you know what? I'm sick of worrying about these photos. I'm sick of worrying about Luke getting killed. I'm sick of worrying about him getting hurt. The worst thing that can happen is you releasing the photos. And I'd rather you did it because it can't hurt any
yeah,
more than
like,
this.
Yeah, I can't feel
then
any
Then I'm
going to
be free.
Now, so do it then.
Yeah, I'll be free then. And Andy and Luke can beat you up. And everyone will know how much of a sleazebag you are.
And you could see like the desperation in her eyes because she was still kind of hoping that he wouldn't do it. And he was there thinking...
He was hoping that she would back down and she was hoping
he would
back
down. Because he knows that,
down.
Yeah, if he posts the pictures...
That's the end.
Yeah, that he's got nothing that he can use against him now. So it's like it's high stakes, high tension.
To be honest, I can't believe for 1 minute there are not several sort of stages of photo. You know, like the one where she's just got her pants on, the one where she's got her pants off. I'd be like... Here's a taster, Steph. I'm sending this one out. And if you don't do what I tell you, I'm sending out the next one in the sequence. And so on until we get to the very naughty ones. And you know exactly what I mean. And I don't know where you found that chicken, but it's disgusting.
The way that they've been talking about it, it seems like there is literally just one photo, isn't it?
I don't think so. I thought I got the impression there was
Did
more
you?
Than one.
I got the impression there was one. Because when he sent it, we saw him do it.
He just press, had, a, he had a special tap. Porn button on his phone that's just like, upload porn to internet. I assume all men have this because it didn't come on mine, on my phone. So she looks him in the eye and she says, do it. He presses his button and they both look completely devastated.
Yeah, because neither of them really wanted that to happen.
Neither of them have won in the best traditions of people arguing.
So she has a good old cry in the cafe about it at the end, doesn't she?
Andy and Luke come in to comfort her and she explains that she tried to call his bluff and it didn't really work. Andy goes to try to beat Jamie up and she says, don't leave me on my own. They all hug and look sad, and she's been sitting there with her phone off, feeling sick the whole time, not daring to look to see.
Did she? I couldn't remember.
Havoc. Well, she said, yeah, she hasn't dared to look to see what havoc he's wreaked on her life, because we don't really know where he's put these photos. Has he put them on Facebook? Has he sent them in a text?
I think he said Facebook, I think they... We are to assume that he definitely has sent them and he wasn't just pretending to send them when he said he sent them, was
it? Well, if we'd watched the episodes today, we'd
probably
know.
I don't know, listeners will know this
winner.
The way he was acting, and you thought if he didn't really post them, it would be very easy
well,
for her to have found that out.
Yeah, you would have found out by now. And he did look very upset and defeated, which you could take as, I've lost my trump card, or, damn it, now they know I don't have... any photos.
Well, we do know that he's got the photos, don't they? Because didn't because
I know, but the
them.
Thing is, oh, okay, that's true.
Yeah. So I think it's quite a good story. I just can't shake the nagging feeling that if there had been other characters, it might have been more exciting. Because I really like Steph, but Luke,
really?
I'm so about, and Jamie, he's all right, but he's only in it to be the antagonist. Andy's bland as. So really, it's kind of Steph on her own that's carrying the story
But
for
Steph
me.
Can carry them, though. She carried Tina's death, the aftermath of that, feeling sad, and she was her only real champion.
There was also Rob kind of on the other side of it, wasn't it? But
yeah but
I just
Rob
think...
killed her, so it was difficult to sympathise.
I just feel that it's like it could be better with better characters. I don't know.
Did you give it a B with room for improvement?
Maybe.
I thought it was good. I can't think of anyone else... No, I can't think of anyone else that you would really... I wonder
whether, like, Callum could have ever done that with Sarah. I mean,
Well, we can
let me have Max, otherwise I'm going to upload these pictures of you onto the internet kind of thing.
I don't think she would care, because I think she's more of a family woman, and I think all the people that she knows I don't think Gail's got a Facebook account. I don't think David's seen her in her pants anyway. Probably even worse than that.
Mm.
Audrey doesn't, not online, is she? So
who else knows?
She's only got one other friend, and that's Gemma.
What's happened to Gemma? When was she, I hope she's going to come back again.
I don't know. She's probably tried to crawl in the other way.
Mm.
She would have curled up under there with Callum's corpse.
But anyway, yeah, Tisha did a very good job with this storyline.
Yeah, so there you go. For if nothing else, the right actress handled it well.
Yeah, yeah.
So, let's talk about the Barlows. Because on Monday, Simon and Amy are trying to get along. But they can't because they hate each other. And Simon hates living in Ken's house. And Ken just wants everyone to get along. Really, when you've got two children fighting, you should just take bets.
Mm, why?
It's the best way to handle it.
Oh.
Just encourage them.
Who do you think can actually win in a proper Simon. Full-on fight?
He's had lots of practice.
Yeah.
Although, don't underestimate Amy's cunning. She'll probably use a weapon.
Well, she might use an ashtray. She could do that violin, didn't she?
No, an ashtray.
Tracy's nice. Probably taught her the self-defence with statue.
Yeah, exactly. So...
This storyline went into bland territory as well this week,
doesn't it?
This
got derailed by the decision to start messing around with Tracy and some kind of weird love triangle between Leanne, Tracy and Robert.
I told you the other day that I don't think there's a jot of chemistry between Robert and Tracy. She's so such an interesting, kind of deep, exciting character, funny, and he's just...
Yeah, I'm going to come out and say... Yeah, exactly. I don't think there's a lack of chemistry. I think it's just there's a lack of personality.
Mm. So do you think he's better off with Leanne? And Leanne's got a personality. It's just not...
I think if Leanne and Robert ended up in a relationship together, I think the TV would turn itself off.
I do think that at the Bistro, they've got a motto that's like, you don't have to be bland to work here, but it helps. obviously, Steph wouldn't have got a job if that was the case. But
that's true.
It was close. Maybe that to have their non-bland, the token non-bland one.
Yeah, probably. So Robert catches Eva and Leanne going into work. And then Leanne heads back home to get her phone, and Robert admits to Eva that Simon's very angry at the world because he sympathises quite a lot. I wonder if we're going to find something out about Robert that explains why he's so sympathetic towards Simon, because he's very much taking Simon and Leanne's side in this. And although it's tempting to say it's just literally because any time you were around Tracy and she was mad at someone, you would automatically take their side just because of how unreasonable Tracy is.
Mm.
Tempting to think that, but...
Well, Robert had that scene later with Simon in the yard, didn't he, where he's like saying, oh, sometimes I used to hate my dad and I thought that he hated me.
I know, yeah, but it's
me,
not very specific, is it?
No, but...
I feel like... There's something missing from that story, but I don't know if they'll bother to go any further now they've had a slight explanation for it. So Ken tries to have a quiet word with Simon about being a little git, but Simon doesn't want to listen, and then he snaps, everyone hates him and goes out the back. And this is when Robert offers to have a word with him and says, oh, I used to get mad when I was a kid. And then she says...
Yeah, he used to kick the football at the wall, didn't he? Imagining that it was his dad or his mum or his teacher or whatever.
I used to get really cross when I was little. My mum and dad took me to the doctor.
Did they?
Yeah. And the doctor said...
I didn't know this.
The doctor said... I don't really just remember.
How old were you?
I don't remember. Middle school, maybe?
What did you used to do?
I don't know. I can't remember. All I remember is coming back from the doctor. And then the doctor saying, I should rip up newspaper...
That's hilarious. Just
made me more angry.
I'm going to ask your mum about that the next time I see her. I want to find this
should.
Out.
Yeah, you probably should. So he used to play football, but whether it's football, ripping up newspapers or kicking Amy in the face, really the outlet for the anger doesn't really deal with the source of the problem, does it? No.
No.
He steers his conversation around to Leanne and says, I promised Leanne that you were fine, but you don't seem to be. And then he gives him a hug.
It was quite a touching scene, really. Again, could have been better if I'd liked the character of Robert a bit more.
I mean, it's clear that Simon needs a father figure, isn't it? And Ken's too old, really.
Mm.
And Robert, is Robert the only one around? I mean,
well,
Nick's
there's Zidane, isn't there? But he's more of Zidane's a big brother, isn't he?
Zidane's too young. Mm. Ken's too old. Robert's really the right age.
Yeah.
Because obviously he's the same age as his mum, so...
Mm.
Simon goes round to see Leanne at home, but she's not in.
Yeah, he goes knocking on the door, but she's gone off to go shopping, hasn't she? Because Robert told her to go and let her hair down.
And so he sees her laughing it up with Eva, with shopping bags, and he gets really mad.
So then So then Tracy, it's after school then, isn't it? And Tracy's summoned into the shop by Todd, and this leaves Amy and Simon on their own together, with Amy winding Simon up, saying that he's not wanted, blah, blah, blah. And then he snaps, doesn't he? Pulls the tablecloth, or wipes the tablecloth off the table he with all the homework and everything on there. And then she runs to the phone, because she's now terrified of him, tries to phone her mum, and she says, "I'm not scared of you, Simon," though she clearly is. And he grabs her by the arms, and he's like, "You better be."
And then we hear a thump and Simon chasing Amy up the stairs. So we don't actually see anything.
No.
And then Ken comes in the back way with Kathy and Amy tells
It wasn't Kathy, was it? It was Nessa. I think Nessa, that's right. Yeah.
Amy tells Ken that Simon hit her and Simon's like, "No, I didn't." But I think he did.
I think he did, but they just didn't show it.
They didn't show it because they don't need to show it. And also, you know.
Yeah.
We don't really need to watch children beating each other for entertainment.
It makes me wonder whether things like this will kind of make Amy think about what she says a bit more, because she wasn't asking to be hit or anything. I'm not saying that, but I mean,
when was the last time anyone ever got punched and then thought to themselves, "Perhaps I'd better be more prudent with what I say in the future," especially when they're like 10.
She's a wise little girl, Amy.
I don't think she'll ever learn.
I hope not anyway, because that's the best thing about her, isn't it?
Ken said, "Simon, did you hit her?" And Simon shrugs, which is teenager for yes.
Yeah.
Leanne gets called around and asks why he did it. And Simon says, "Oh, she deserved it. She was winding me up." And Leanne
Tracy
says,
hits the roof, doesn't she? Leanne, she's like, Tracy, I don't want you here
Tracy
anymore.
Keeps going, "Oh, my daughter, blah, blah, blah." This is the same kind of thing that happened with Eccles as well. Remember when Eccles was supposed to leave Bill?
Oh, yeah. And well, Tracy tried to like, get her put down. Sorry, she hasn't suggested that for Simon. Well, she doesn't want him in the house anymore.
Well, she tells him, she says he's got to get out.
Do you think that Tracy was being unreasonable at all? Look, I mean, I suppose...
She's overreacting. I mean, kids will be kids, won't they? I mean, I know Simon... I think it's all a bit stupid, because when I was a kid, there was always fighting going on with other kids.
Yeah, but what? Would any of the boy kids turn their hands to you? Because I'm going to go find them now.
I didn't really used to hang around with girls that beat me up.
Well, I can understand Tracy's kind of worrying.
Tracy's situation, but only in this context of he was also beating up Leanne. But, you know...
She didn't know that at that point,
did
they?
I know she didn't know that, but I felt like they just skipped a few steps just for the reasons of brevity.
Well, Nessa saying that Simon needed a good slap, and Leanne's going, "What's it got to do with you?" And so Kenan asked Nessa to leave at that point. So then at last they kind of sit down, and finally it comes out, because Eva tells Leanne that
she needs to tell the truth.
So she's like,
Simon has been like this before.
And Ken says, "What?"
Yes, well done.
Even put a screenshot of it on Twitter this week. So pleased.
And she says, "Oh, I was so ashamed I didn't say anything. I thought it was my fault." And Ken says, "Oh, it wasn't your fault. How often did he hurt you?" And she says, "Oh, I should have been honest." And then Tracy says, "You let it get out of control. What kind of mother are you?" And all the way through this week, Tracy just keeps going, "Oh, you're a terrible mother, Leanne. You're the worst mother in the world." Says the woman who left her child because she had to go to prison for murder.
Exactly. Leanne now that says, Tracy knows this, she's obviously... It would make you feel more scared for your child's safety, wouldn't it? Like, we said she was maybe overreacting a bit earlier, but if this person has caused these things to Leanne, I don't think Leanne, like, showed her the bruises or anything, but I wouldn't want my child to be in the house with someone that had done this.
No. Leanne says, "I didn't want social services to come and take him away." And Tracy says, "You've gone too far, and now my daughter's been hurt, and he can't stay here now." And Ken agrees, and so Leanne says he'll have to come back to the flat. Ken tries to get Simon to talk to him about this, and Simon says, I just feel so angry, and I lash out. And so Ken says, "You've got to go to live with your mum now." And Simon says, "I do love Leanne." And Ken says, "Oh, we all love you." And then they have a little hug. And it is kind of sweet, these little windows you get when Simon's rational and not cross, and he realises the sort of trouble he's got himself in.
I do feel that they came out of nowhere. I suppose it's because like you only see like key little scenes down during the day. You don't see the calm down necessarily, do you? You see when he's at he's the build up to the high of when he lashes out, and then when he's calm again. But I suppose you have to imagine that he's been cooling off in the in-between periods.
So Tracy thanks Ken for kicking Simon out, and Ken says, "No, you're not going to ostracize him from the family. He's still He still needs our help. And Tracy says to Robert, oh, I don't blame Simon, I blame Leanne. Good job she can't have her own kids. And this is what kind of pushes Robert over the edge. He gets annoyed and leaves. Then we see Eva and Leanne in the flat, and Leanne is really worried about what's going to happen. Now everybody knows about it. And then the door goes, and it's Robert, and he comes in. And Leanne says, I'm going to go see the GP, and I'm not going to give up on him. So when Robert returns back to Ken's house, Tracy tries to suck up to him, but then she gets mad when she finds out he was around Leanne's house. And he says, I don't agree with you about this. You're wrong. And she says, oh, you're only there because you fancy Leanne, don't you? And he just walks off.
I don't think he'd given any indication that he fancies Leanne.
I think Tracy's using that as a weapon.
Because
she can't criticise him for being sympathetic towards Simon, but she can criticise him if he fancies Leanne. So if she indicates that she thinks that's what's going on, he then has to defend himself. And then they get into an argument about that, and he has to prove how much he loves her.
Mm.
So that's where she was angling, but Robert completely refused to engage her on that level. He just walked off and left her.
No.
So that's kind of Robert's success and downfall with Tracy, is that he doesn't play into her little mind games.
He did kind of fairly easily accept the fact that she started the fire at Victoria Court, though, didn't he? And he was a...
I know, but he takes her as she is, though. Do you know what I mean? But he doesn't engage her in these mind games of, you've got to prove how much you love me by you know, coming out and denouncing Leanne, because he couldn't... Tracy couldn't get Robert to criticise Leanne's parenting. So by saying, oh, you fancy her, she was inviting him to then say, oh, I don't like that old slapper, she's ugly, or no, of course she's not a patch on you, my love, or whatever. But no, he just walked off.
Yeah. Back to the bistro where he can work with Leanne. So Leanne and Simon go to see the new doctor at the medical centre on Wednesday. Is this another replacement doctor?
No, it's an invisible doctor. It's the best kind. This doctor recommends Simon sees a counsellor, and he gets put on a waiting list. Tracy is gradually trying to get back into Simon's good books, but he's getting a bit fed up with Kim and Ken going on about how sorry they feel about what's happened to Simon and Leanne. Then Leanne comes over herself and says, I'm very sorry about what happened with Simon. And Tracy says, I don't really care whether you're sorry or not. What are you going to do about it? So Leanne says they're going to counselling. And Robert's very happy and says, oh, good job, first step, blah, blah, blah.
Tracy's like, rubbish.
But Leander's finds out that Peter's been told about this and she's not happy about that.
Mm. So Tracy spends more of the episode trying to get back into his good books and like says, oh, let's go on a date and everything. But he's like, no, not interested. So later on, Simon gets home from school and he gets sat down and told about this counsellor. Doesn't like the idea about it because he's still so kind of ashamed and guilty about it. He just doesn't...
He thinks he's going to get taken into care.
Yeah, he thinks
gonna get
more people know, more people will look down on him, more people will hate him. He'll get sent away and put into care because actually he does want to live with Leanne deep down, doesn't
he? Yeah,
he does want somebody to love him, and he doesn't think anyone's going to love him if he goes into care.
Yeah, no, they won't. Tracy goes to the bistro because Robert won't spend time
clingy.
With her,
she
has to go round to where he works. She's like, oh, I came to see you because you told me I had to book a table. So he says, yeah, go and sit at it then.
He puts her in the corner, doesn't he?
Leanne comes in and says, tells Robert about Simon agreeing to see the counsellor. And then Tracy starts shouting her mouth off. And so Robert says, get out, you poisonous little bitch.
That was a great end of the episode.
And we went,
and like Leanne's there going,
yeah, Leanne's for a very straight face, but you could see she was like, oh yeah.
I still feel sorry for Tracy, even though like she never does anything to deserve it. I feel like I'm always on her side.
She just does it for attention. She's just getting attention, isn't she? She's just, Robert doesn't like me. Here's Leanne. Leanne's a bad mother. Let me remind everybody how terrible Leanne is so that Robert will realise that compared to Leanne, I'm brilliant.
But I feel bad for her because she's always really insecure in a relationship.
Oh, yeah, that's what I mean.
She
is insecure, but she's fueling the fire, isn't she, by being horrible.
Yeah.
And making Robert hate her.
Yeah.
So on Thursday, Tracy's annoyed because Robert's been out all night and his phone's been turned off. And Ken's like, oh, just give him a chance. I'd be fuming if you did this to me.
I wouldn't dare.
Well, I would never do this to you either. Why would you, if you were with somebody and the last time you saw them, you're like, you poisonous bitch, turn your phone off and don't come home.
Mm.
That is really bad form.
It is.
It's very immature, but it was played as though it was the right thing to do, which I thought was a bit weird, because for any other character,
yeah,
other than Tracy, it's like sometimes the Corey likes to crap all over Tracy because she's, you know,
I think they do sometimes villain. Do that, though. They have people going off and staying at a mate's house or
I know,
whatever.
But is that normal?
I don't know.
I think that's very immature.
I wouldn't have anywhere to go because all my friends are mostly your friends.
You'd just have to go around my mum's house and go, she's being horrible to me. And my mum would be like, oh, poor baby. Oh, come on, mum.
She would actually.
And then Pip and Ben, the dogs, would lick your face and you'd come straight home.
Your mum wouldn't be able to keep it a secret that was there, would she? She'd message you on Facebook.
She probably would. She'd be like, I don't want, he doesn't want to talk to you, but just so you know, Michael is safe with me.
And then you'd come marching around and drag me back home by the ear.
No, I'd be like, enjoy sleeping in a pile of dog hair. I hope you've got some antihistamines.
Anyway, what happened on the rest of
the
episode?
Well, Ken says, look, just give me a chance and listen. So Tracy storms off to the bistro because she thinks...
He thinks he's gone off with Leanne. Yeah.
But then we see Leanne and Robert speaking and it turns out that he had crashed at a mate's house.
Mm.
And he says to Leanne, I'm sorry about what happened. Tracy says she was going to turn over a new leaf, but she's obviously still a horrible cow. Tracy bursts in and says, where have you been? And Robert's looking at her like, what are you talking about? And then she says, I'm sorry, I want to apologise. I'm just wound up because my daughter got hurt. And Leanne's standing there sniping away and then she flounces off.
Well, Robert's like, you need to apologise to Leanne. I mean, Tracy isn't kind of known for her apologies and it was quite a big move for her, wasn't it? Even apologising to him, but she wouldn't say it to Leanne and that's what he's like. No, not interested.
She begs Robert to come home.
Yeah.
He won't.
Yeah.
Leanne and Simon go back to the house, the flat, and Zidane's there playing with his Wii U.
I'm very happy to see this, because this is my console of choice, the Wii U.
But they've got the rubbish version, the white version, which is not good, the cheap one, though.
But yeah, I was happy to see that. And I could even tell from about the first second of sound clips what game he was playing as well. So, anyway, that's not what we're talking about.
Leanne tells Simon that he has to apologise, go around to Amy's house and apologise after dinner. So he does, he goes around there, and then, so he's trying to apologise. It's like a face-off with Tracy and Simon and Ken on one side.
One of these child apologies where you're like, you tell them to say sorry, and then they say sorry, but they don't mean it.
The person who, they
either kind of laugh and say they're sorry, or the person's like... You say sorry to them and then they laugh back and then the adults that are kind of making them apologise, it just winds them up even more, doesn't it?
Well, Simon apologises and Tracy says, Amy, now tell him how out of order he is. And Ken says, no, we're going for pizza. And Amy's like, yay, I accept your apology, Simon, bye!
That was hilarious.
And then Tracy tells Leanne, Tracy realises she's lost that one, so she tries to wind Leanne up in a different way. And she says, oh, Leanne, me and Robert are going to spend the night together eating gorgeous food and drinking wine. And Leanne says, that's weird, because I spent all day with Robert, and it seems to me that he'd rather boil his head. And then Amy is still in the hallway listening to this, and she is really embarrassed at her mum being shown up.
Doesn't she say, like, that was not embarrassing or something? Like, in a so sarky way? I think she did.
Yeah. So... outside of Leanne's house, in the dark, Tracy jumps up on her.
She's attacked by a murderer.
Says, leave Robert alone. You know what I'm capable of. I'm not a woman to mess with.
That was a dangerous move, wasn't it? Because that was not even a thinly veiled threat.
That was like, I'm going to straight up murder you if you mess with my man.
I'm going to tag team with Simon and we'll come at you and both beat you up.
Good idea. I would actually like to watch that happen.
Maybe that happened on tonight's episode that we missed.
Maybe. We'll never know. We probably will never know.
We will watch it later at the weekend. Which story are we doing next? We're doing the ginger at the gym, aren't we?
So, Alia on Monday accidentally bumps into Izzy, knocks her bag, and she helps her, and Izzy's not happy. But they decide to settle their differences and go and chat in the cafe. Then Alia starts to apologise... and she puts her foot right in it because she says, oh, it would have been better if Gary had just stayed with you, Izzy. And Izzy's like, what? Some sort of consolation prize? What are you talking about? Alia realises she's put her foot in it and it's not working out. This apology is going nowhere, so she just leaves. And then Anna says to Izzy, oh, Gary told me he's coming home.
Hooray.
Oh, good.
Isn't it? Alia had been away as well, hadn't she? She'd been with her mates.
She did flounce off to go and stay with some friends to make some kind of big point and that got lost in translation somewhere.
Yeah.
Because she's back again.
At the same time as Gary.
Looking miserable in the kitchen. Sharif and Yasmin comes back and she moans that she's being punished for one stupid mistake and that people won't stop holding it over her.
Yeah, well, you should have thought of that, shouldn't you, Alia?
She goes off crying. She goes to the pub and then comes back crying again. And basically, Sharif comforts her, which is moving forwards.
That's usually Yasmin's role, and Yasmin is awesome comforter, isn't she? She's the wise woman of the street.
This was to prove that Alia is slowly being accepted back into the fold.
Oh yeah, I didn't even get that.
Because Sharif says, people make mistakes, face them with dignity. And he gives her a fresh tissue, and Yasmin's hanging back, and it's Sharif that's comforting her.
Yeah, because he was the one that didn't want to. He was
really
ashamed of
her before,
wasn't
she? Don't talk to me about
it.
I need time to get over this. I don't want to talk to you. I can't bring myself to look at you.
Yeah.
But now he's the one bringing her tissues and saying, "You screwed up. Just
blow your nose into this."
Yeah.
By Wednesday, Christmas had arrived on Coronation Street, and with it, a little Christmas elf of Gary. It was all done up very nice.
Because it's
it?
Exactly a month until Christmas on Wednesday.
Oh, yeah, that's obviously, and that's the date when you do it, isn't it? We are not Christmassy at all yet, but there's some around, aren't there?
I love Christmas.
No, it's nearly Christmas. Alia's like, are you all right? And he just snaps it. He's like, yeah, never better. He obviously doesn't want to talk to her at all. Gary does seem to have had a bit of a personality transplant this week, doesn't
he? I don't think so. He's always been a git.
I think he's been a bit of a boring Mr. Nice guy.
No, I don't. I think he's always had this simmering.
Well, he is from the Windasses, isn't he?
Don't forget what he did to Phelan.
Oh, yeah, beat him up.
Yeah.
Fight of the year last year.
He's not a nice guy. He just is good at pretending he is.
He came from this horrible Windass family.
Exactly.
Who were from the wrong side of the street, weren't they?
He's rough and ready. He's from the streets.
But he just seemed to be nasty this week, even though
he wasn't wrong.
I mean,
I don't think he was nasty. I just think he was very practical and unemotional about it, and it didn't mesh well with everybody else who are still very much in the thick of their emotions, because he goes into the
gym
and he's like, right,
let's get this business going.
And like, Sharif and Zidane are like, no, I don't think so. You're not doing it now. And he's like, nope, I signed a contract, so I've got work to do. So.
And it is true. He's got every right to be there, I think.
And he quit his other job.
As awkward as it is.
And he's got put food on the table for his son.
Yeah.
So Dev's also a partner in this business, and he says, well, we've got to let it work. He's a good kid. He's just, circumstances have not been kind to him.
I'm kind of surprised that the Nazirs and Dev hadn't had this conversation beforehand.
I'm totally shocked. I think it's a bit dishonourable of the Nazirs to expect him to. I really thought that Sharif would come to Gary and say, listen, Gary, I'm going to buy you out.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you 20 grand just walk away.
I mean, Gary didn't give him much of a chance, but that's what should have happened. They should have
had a
plan for this, because it's like, it wasn't just a handshake and a whatever. I mean,
it was
legally done, wasn't it? So it's like there would be the reminder constantly on the books or whatever, I don't understand business, that this had happened.
And he never did anything wrong.
No.
It was Alia's fault that they broke up.
Yeah.
So if it had been Gary who'd been cheating, it would have been completely out of order for him to have rocked up and said, where's my money? But yeah. As it is,
he is in the right. But he didn't try and like say, he could have handled it better still, couldn't
he? Yeah,
he wasn't like, look, I know it's going to be difficult, but
we just got to work together.
He was like, no, I work here now. Screw you.
I work here, so deal with it.
He does have some ideas.
He's being petty, but he's sticking to his guns. And when Alia finds out, she gets really mad.
Yeah, she's not.
She thinks
about
he's rubbing her family's nose in it. So on Thursday, Sharif says to Gary, "This can't work." But Dev says, "No, we're going to have to make it work." Then Eva sees Gary in the cafe, and she's talking about the fact that Jason and Alia slept with each other. And she says, "Look, you've got nothing to be embarrassed about." And Jason swears it was just one night thing, and it only happened once. And then they hug each other, and then in comes Jason. And Eva goes off, and Gary looks annoyed, but then Jason thinks that Gary is using Eva to try to get back at him. And he says, don't try to do that, that's not right. So Gary gets up in his face, and Jason's, oh, we want to fight, we'll go outside and have a fight. And Gary says, number one, if I wanted to fight you, you'd be in hospital. And number two, if I wanted Eva, I would just have her.
See, this is what I don't like. I mean, I never really liked Gary that much anyway. But
this was just posturing, wasn't it? This is just young men posturing to each other. This is the kind of thing that you expect from this kind of character on Corrie.
I don't like the idea
of
him saying, I could just have her if I
wanted her. No, I know, but I think if I was Jason, I would just laugh. It's like you punched above your weight with Alia. I don't know why you think you're going to get lucky twice. Lightning doesn't strike twice in the same place.
No.
So Jason asks Eva if she wants to go out to town as friends with him later.
But he gets blown off, basically, doesn't he?
Well,
at the end of the episode.
She kind of gets annoyed because she gets stuck between the two of them.
Because
Jason tells Eva not to let Gary use her. And then she says, no, we're not going out with each other, so don't tell me what to do. And then Gary is there laughing at Jason. So there's some kind of weird three-way thing with Jason. I don't know where this is.
Are you expecting something to happen between... do you think this is going to be how eventually Eva and Jason get back together? Because everyone kind of wants to see
them. Yeah.
I think everybody kind of does, don't they?
I'm surprised that her mothering instincts haven't sort of like drawn her towards him, because he's gone through such a horrible time.
Yeah. Well, he has now stopped clutching his side, hasn't he?
Quite
now,
as much.
Now that we don't need to be reminded of that.
He did still wince a little bit when Gary was sort of in his face, as to say, come and beat me up then, because I can't defend myself.
I suppose so. But if Eva and Jason do end up back together like we want in this, then Gary gets kind of kicked when he's down almost, doesn't he?
Why is he going after Eva?
Who?
Gary.
Well, he
Why
probably...
Why does it matter what Gary thinks about Eva?
He wants to get Eva just to...
Yeah, so why do you feel sorry for him being kicked when he's down? All he wants to do is use Eva to rub Alia and Jason's face.
No, I don't care about it. But, I mean, if Gary was the one that was in the wrong...
Two wrongs don't make a right.
Well, I don't really care.
Like Gary that much.
I don't really like Gary. There's nothing particularly unlikable about him. I find him a bit boring.
Really. I always think he's got a nasty streak. To me, he's got a nasty streak.
Hidden beneath a nice guy exterior.
Yeah,
because
you think he's a nice guy and he's suddenly had a personality transplant. I don't think so. I think he's always been like this. Don't forget he kidnapped Izzy. Ran off, went crazy, beat feeling up. Used to be the like family of scallywags. He went around stealing things off people.
Yeah, I suppose so. But
you're just getting confused because Anna's really nice, and
Anna's not really nice. She's pretty. She can be pretty horrible. Same, isn't she? She can have a mean streak, like when she was when she took against Roy.
Yeah.
Earlier this year.
Yeah, exactly. Get Gary was in there stealing out the blooming till.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't feel sorry for him at all, you're right.
Yeah, good. Right, Deverica Apartments or whatever they are. Monday, Erica comes into the cabin to get a thank you card for Dev, and then Norris starts gossiping and going, oh, Dev's got his sights set on the next victim.
Yeah, Mary.
And then we
like
also get some stuff with Mary and her budding romance.
Yeah, well, Mary still seems to be holding a bit of a torch for Dev, doesn't she? Because she walks into the corner shop and Dev is tending to Erica's hand because she's drilled into it or something when she was doing some DIY.
Always drilling into
upstairs.
My hand.
Mary just doesn't like to see them getting closer together and demands to Erica, well, look, what's going on between you two? No, sorry, she demands to Dev. And he's like, nothing, I promise. Look, I'm going to... you've got nothing to be worried about, Mary. I quite like how it is definitely played platonically and how Erica still doesn't seem to be showing any signs of giving in to Deb, and she does just want to be a mate to him, doesn't she? Because they have that date together. Well, I can't remember when that was, but there's that romance with Deb is completely far away from my mind. I think that's how it should be, to be honest.
Yeah.
Monday's episode, at the end, Mary has a drink with Deb and Erica, and she's a bit standoffish with them. And Erica asks Mary if she still loves Deb, and she's like, no, I just a bit worried about what could happen to the kids. And yeah, this is when Erica says, not in the market for it right now. We're just going to be friends together.
Yeah.
I like the idea. I thought it was funny how Dev had this monster hangover on the beginning of Wednesday's episode, and Erica just comes breezing in. It's like, yeah, I never get any hangovers.
Hello, my telly's broken. Can you fix it, please? And he says, not really, but you can come to my house to watch telly. So she gets around there and immediately gets given the wrong impression, because who made the candle?
Ardy made a candle.
Ardy made a little candle and he lit it on the table. And she's like, we're not mates. We're not having a romantic candle at dinner. And he says, oh, no, we're mates. Yeah, no, this is just my kid's candle.
He's getting turning a bit lanky, as I do now.
He's growing into it
a little bit. We didn't see Asher at all this week. But...
So later on the sofa, Erica and Dev are watching, well, Erica's watching TV. This is just like what happens with me and you. She's watching TV.
He falls asleep.
And then he falls asleep and goes sideways into her back, and she thinks he's putting her arms around her, but he's not. He's just fallen asleep. And she tells him off.
Yeah. And we didn't see any of her on Thursday, did we? It was just Mary and Dev, and Mary saying how awesome Brendan is, and they're going to go out on a date, but then he cancels because his aunt's got a gastric problem.
So I'm glad I don't have an aunt.
I want to see more of Brendan. I hope he's back in it again.
So Dev tried to cheer her up and says at least it shows he's caring and nice and stuff. And he goes on for a few minutes about how she should be grateful.
And he does cheer her up and they have a nice little hug, don't they?
He doesn't look wholly convinced by his own speech, to be honest. But
it's good enough.
It's good enough for Mary.
So we'll just finish off with the Hope storyline, and there's only about two scenes in there, wasn't it? And
turning into some kind of cancer versus compulsive shopping storyline.
Well, I think it's definitely leading down the road of they're going to have no money. And Sarah at school was saying today, she reckons like on Christmas Day, they're going to be having this in the middle of their best Christmas ever, and then like the repo men are going to come in, or the debt collectors.
No, do you know what I was just thinking to myself earlier today? I was thinking, Corrie could redeem themselves with this story if all along they had been planning that on Christmas Day or Christmas Eve or whenever they get told, guess what, Hope's cancer-free, congratulations, the chemo worked, even though in real life that wouldn't happen.
I can't remember how long, I don't remember when they're supposed to be able to know.
I don't want to watch a bloody story, another Christmas cancer story. It's just like,
well,
no.
Like I said, I reckon it is going to go down the road of they haven't got any money.
That's even worse. It's even worse because it's cancer and
Christmas
repo
poverty.
Man.
But I mean, I find it hard to feel sorry for Tyrone now it keeps on happening, because he's always buying them toys.
Yeah, but he's not buying it for himself though. He's buying it for the kids.
I know, but he could still rein it in a little bit.
Because you never buy me presents.
No.
So you don't know what it's like to feel the simple joy of giving to other people, to see their faces light up in happiness at your generosity.
But he knows they've got no money, and after the whole Lapland debacle, he should be
counting the pennies.
Yeah, and he did go to the pound shop, didn't he? That's true. But really, it's not a very good idea.
Anyway, we've kind of skipped around what happened. Hope made a glitter card for Father Christmas and says, I don't want any more medicine on it, which is illogical.
Yeah, and Ruby wrote one saying, can I have a storyline now, please? Because I'm like,
No, Ruby, not Bina. Ty goes shopping, brings back loads of stuff the kids had asked for, everything on the list apart from the no medicine things. Not possible. And he gets some of it with the pound shop, but Fizz is still not very impressed with how much she's bought. He says, inflatable Father Christmas is coming tomorrow. And she says, what do you mean? Where'd you get that from? And he says, off Baz. Is Baz real?
Whoever, I don't know.
I wonder, I'm starting to think that Baz is not real. I think by Baz he meant Bazley Barkley Barkley card. Baz.
Maybe.
That's what I call it.
Where'd
you get these shoes? Oh, Baz bought them for me.
They're not going to have any money at Christmas anyway. That's where this
Well, that's
is
the
going.
Point. If you get to Christmas and you've got money left, you've done it wrong.
And that was it for this week's Street Talk, apart from Friday's episode. And I'm definitely having Steph as my character of the week.
Yeah, me too.
Week.
I was going to say Steph.
She was awesome. Tisha did an excellent job at acting. Apart from maybe the hiding your face behind your mittens thing on Mondays, but I'll let you off with that. But just for that one scene with Jamie and the Rovers almost.
You could have had a pin drop.
Exactly. She did a darn good job. And now she's all over the internet.
Yes. We're just going to have a little look.
Well, I don't know what's going to happen with this now, because it's like now that he has kind of played his one and only card.
We don't know. There's no point in speculating because it's already happened.
Okay. We won't speculate. It just sounds stupid. Everyone listening probably knows what happens. Yes. Right. Okay. Let's move on and we'll go to the cabin then.
The cabin.
We've got a couple of stories this week. One of them we're going to do now, and then we've got a couple of cabin extras at the end for our spoiler-ish
news. You know what that means?
News.
Spoilers, leaving or joining or something.
Or coming back, maybe.
Who knows?
Anyway, this is the only thing that I found out with that was any good was Corrie was in the Sun this morning because apparently, and this was later denied by ITV, there was going to be a Muslim extremist storyline.
Yes.
Apparently, there's a Corrie source that talked to The Sun, and you can take that with a grain of salt, can't you? They said Corey always tries to replicate real life, and we're never scared from tackling controversial storylines. That is what we're renowned for, and we make sure we do it with complete sensitivity. We're aware of the level of responsibility we have to show whenever we do anything like this. There have been some real debates about whether it's the right thing to do, but if we can find a sensible way to handle it that works before the watershed, then we will start putting some wheels in motion. So
I liked the title of the original article. It's called Horonation Street. Corey bosses planning to bring jihad to the street.
Now there's a controversial title, attention grabbing.
And it also said that none of the Nazirs were going to be extremists, so you assume
that they would have a friend or something.
A friend who's a bit of a terrorist.
Do you think that this is something that would be appropriate for a
I don't think it's appropriate.
Soap.
And I think they're very wise to have steered away from it. But I would have loved to have watched a storyline like this. I would have been hesitant to have discussed it necessarily
on the podcast
because it's a minefield of offending people.
Yeah, I think it would have been really interesting if they'd have found a sensitive way to handle it. And
no, there's no way sensitive way. You can't do that. You can't handle this without upsetting people. But
soaps are always breaking taboos, aren't they?
Yeah, but simply because they've put themselves in another corner here where they've shown diversity by including one family. So.
No, so we've got Muslims in it. What other storyline can we have?
We've done Ramadan. We've got to have terrorism now because those are the two main things everyone knows about Muslims.
I suppose it would be more acceptable or whatever if they'd been in it for a longer time and there'd been more. And it wasn't just like, well, what else can we do? Let's go down this route. But to actually see it, I think it could have been quite interesting. Because
I think it would have been fascinating, and it would have got them awards if they'd done it right. And
if they'd have done it right,
and
it could have gone wrong.
It's more likely that it would have gone wrong.
Because it's like the whole anorexia thing, isn't it? Which they haven't tackled, but they did it so well in Hollyoaks, apparently.
But you've got to be careful because you can't do like a cookie cutter kind of villainous, here's an evil terrorist. Because that's a boring story. Like, what would the story be? Zidane goes to the mosque and one of his friends is like, oh, Western devils, I'm going to go blow them up. And so he turns them in.
So would you want to see somebody gradually being...
Yeah, it's got to be the story, like the real story of how it actually happens, which is what they do, is they get kids who feel disaffected, who already have the teenage rebellion streak in them, and then they slowly befriend them, and then they start to manipulate them, and they start to seed ideas in their minds and start to make this kind of adventure and kind of, you know, and in this higher cause and like radicalise them slowly by befriending them. Yeah, exactly.
See, I really liked it in Lost when we saw Saeed's flashbacks and they showed how he was kind of convinced to be a suicide bomber and then he pulled out of it in the end. And it's like, he was a main character and he was a sympathetic character, wasn't he? Even though in his past life he was a torturer from Iraq.
But there's no way that most people, I think quite a lot of people watching this would find any humanization of a character
I know
to be offensive, and they wouldn't even stop to think like, is this realistic, is this what really happens, do we not have a responsibility?
No, they've sided with the terrorists.
Yeah, they'd be like, oh, they're trying to make it seem like it's normal or good.
Yeah, I think the pre-watershed thing is a big factor. I mean,
And in a show like Coronation Street,
you can have
something
a bit more mature and sensible and whatever past 9 o'clock-ish.
But... And on a show like Coronation Street, you haven't got any shows past that. And even if you did, what are you going to do? Schedule a week where every show's after 9 and call it like Terror Week.
Oh, God.
You know what I mean?
Britain's Got Talent Week for next year sorted.
Yeah. Oh, we're going to have a bomb on the street.
Yeah.
They can't do it because it's an ensemble show and there's no way to...
No, I think that they have said it was, or another Corey source has said it was put forward at a storyline in conference like many other stories are, but it was quickly shot down.
I think they're spinning a very big tale out of probably what was someone going, we're not doing the terrorist thing, are we? And everyone went, no, not with a 10-foot barge pole. Who let him in?
Yeah.
Work experience.
So now it's kind of turned into something bigger.
Well, they've said there are absolutely no plans to introduce a Muslim extremist or radicalisation storyline into Coronation Street, and that's the end of the matter.
Yeah, that is it for now. You have to...
It would be lovely if they were brave enough and if they trusted themselves enough to do it.
I'm not sure. I mean, especially with Stuart Blackburn, I mean, he's on his way out now anyway, but as things stand at the moment, I don't think that Corey could do it sensitively enough. I just don't. I mean,
I wouldn't want to be
not
in always, the...
They're not. Is it? Or they might be able to, but it's not guaranteed that they would, because they.
And even if they do it nice, in a nice, not a nice
sensitive
way, in a sensitive way, it only takes one hysterical headline from the Sun or the Daily Mail, like Corey sympathetic towards ISIS terror bombers or something, and then instantly everyone be up in arms. Even if they didn't even watch Coronation Street, there'd be blooming riots and like sign this petition, we only need 20,000 people to get David Cameron to take Coronation Street off the air for good.
No, you're right. So best
and also is, I would not want to be any actor who was employed to play a terrorist on Coronation Street.
That's true. So it'd probably be a bit awkward for the other actors acting around them as well, wouldn't it?
What
I mean,
do you
they to feel that they were taking part in a storyline that could be seen as sympathising with it.
Yeah, you'd be like, I hope I'm a goodie in this storyline.
Yeah, it'd be a bit... Right, let's finish that for now and move on to some feedback.
In the feedback section, Karen says, she's got another music note for us. When Tony and Liz were planning their secret date in the pub, Quit Playing Games With My Heart by the Backstreet Boys were playing on the jukebox. Good spot.
There was, what was it that was happening the other day when they had Tragedy that came on? It was something in the, I can't remember what they were talking
about. I know, I don't remember. She also said, love the Ghost Hunter stuff. Anything Mary says about her life is gold. I really love her so much and I'm glad she has a storyline. Any chance of a character profile on her in the near future?
Well, no, because we already did her. Episode 1, she was our very first character was Mary.
This is what I mean, we should start doing them again. We're on episode 174.
Episode 177.
So we're not doing it again. Karen.
Yeah.
think we should, but Michael won't. Because he's stickler.
No, we're going to do every other character
say, episode 1 is probably not our most sterling example of a character profile. So I don't see the harm, but there you go.
Well,
Let's move on to Christina.
She says, brace yourselves, this could be a long one. Firstly, a big thank you for featuring my blog on last week's podcast. That's okay. And actually, look, we had quite a few people that wrote into us after we did the website thing last week. They were glad that we featured them. She says, it's really difficult to come up with some new ideas for my blog because, as you mentioned, most ideas have already been done and I'm really conscious that I don't want to be accused of stealing other people's ideas. I'm hoping that in January I'll be able to take some time and think of some new and original ideas.
Yeah, but don't forget that it's your personal voice that gives it a spin. Like, all we're doing is saying what happened on Coronation Street every week.
And yeah, and giving our opinions on it a bit, aren't we?
Yeah, so don't be afraid of just...
Saying what you think,
that's good enough, I think.
Yeah. Secondly, I think this is addressed to you, Gemma. Let's chat about your favourite character.
I love
Leanne.
Her. She's brilliant.
So, she sent Simon away to Portsmouth. Whilst he was away, what did Leanne do? Nothing, that's what. In the time he was away, I would have been talking to people, reading books, doing online research, asking the school for help, booking a family mediation session, going to a doctor, asking what help was available, anything at all that I could do to formulate a plan for when he got home to hope that things changed. Would I have instantly believed anything he told me about Peter? No, not without speaking to Peter first. Does Peter even know what's been going on? It seemed to me that Leanne thought that sending Simon to live with Ken is going to be the solution. She's out of order for not letting Ken know the whole truth. She is putting both Ken and Amy in danger. And as far as I'm aware, Ken thinks this situation is temporary. But I get the impression that Leanne thinks it's permanent. What should have been a poignant moment of Leanne walking away from Simon did not move me at all. So this is obviously written before all this happened this week. But that is true. We didn't really see her that much while Simon was away, did we? And she could have been using it to like arm herself with knowledge.
She just seemed to be thinking, Peter will sort him out.
She does. She kind of thought, well,
what kind of naive stupidity?
He'll calm down in Portsmouth and when he comes back, it'll be better again.
No, didn't work like that, did it?
No, sadly not for her. Moves on, she's not talking about Kate. To cut my ramblings about Kate, I will just say I agreed with everything that Gemma said.
Yay!
What I don't understand is when Kate first joined, she was already engaged to Kaz, or Kez, or whatever
her name is.
We said it was spelled with a K last week, but it is a C, actually, I've just discovered. Yeah, it's I think it's Kaz.
I think
with a
it's
C.
a made up name, so it doesn't matter.
talking about her wedding plans, all of a sudden she doesn't want to get married. Why would you get engaged but not want to get married? Call me old fashioned, but to me, when you get engaged, you'd be happy to get married the next day if it was possible. Secondly, it made me laugh that Kaz just plucked a month out of thin air for them to get married. My husband's in the Navy and trying to plan for our wedding was a nightmare.
Gosh.
The job comes first, whether it's getting married, having a baby, death in the family. If you are needed, you're needed. We had to postpone our wedding because of the September 11th bombings.
Goodness.
I'm not sure how the army works, but I would have thought arranging to get married when you're in the army would be harder still.
That does make sense.
Mm. You're right as well, but she used to be, when she was first in, it was like, oh, I'm engaged.
I know,
she's the hottest soldier that there's ever been, and I can't wait to marry her.
She really was. It made it sound like, I'm getting married and I just need the money from my dad.
It was obviously that one little confrontation with Sophie when they had all the cars parked outside the garage that made us doubt.
It's like, I've met another
there are
lesbian
other
op-
There
now.
Are other options.
I thought there was only one lesbian and now I've met another one. And my God, look at her hair.
And her power suit.
Oh, incredible.
And she finishes off. She says, in the Navy, you have to be married to get housed. So maybe that's why Kaz wants to get married so quickly. I got so bored by the Kate stuff that I switched off and didn't have a clue what was going on. I really don't know how they can make Kate's character more interesting. I also think that they're going to end up pairing off with Sophie. Yeah, I could go on, but I won't.
I'd rather have Kaz than Kate.
We don't. So
I just
still
don't like Kate.
I do not have a problem with her. She's not boring me yet, but she's not really interesting me either. What about if she has some nice sparkly dungarees or something? Would that make
her? She doesn't need more dungarees. Two pairs of dungarees is more than
enough
for anybody.
Any woman.
Right,
you Rebecca do the next
says, one. I thought good work from Jane Danson this week, especially in Friday's episode when Leanne had to leave Simon at the Barlows and he couldn't carry it all. I enjoyed the Simon and Amy scene, especially with her practicing the violin in the same room as he was watching a film. I was one of those who wasn't sure if Liz was playing a game with Tony, but I loved her speech in The Rovers. And even though that I sent him packing, I will kind of miss him. I hope he returns in a few years. Kate and Kaz.
Possible.
I like the relationship, but not the characters. Kaz, probably, because she's new, takes me a while sometimes for characters to grow on me. And Kate, even though I don't dislike her as much as Gemma does, there is something about her I'm not comfortable with, and I don't think it's still her being new, as I quite like Johnny. I'm hoping as time goes on, she starts to show some better qualities.
Yeah, I don't think that... I think if Kate and Kaz and all that lot suddenly upped and left, I wouldn't be bothered particularly. I'd be like, oh well, they were a minor distraction for a bit, but yeah.
Well, I just kind of made a point about having only one Muslim family on the street. Really, let's have more gay characters on the street. Let's have a bit more. It's a soap. It doesn't need to reflect the real kind of
proportions
of everyday life. You don't have to have like, oh, make sure there's only one in ten characters are gay, otherwise it just gets ridiculous. And to avoid them sort of falling into stereotypical traps, let's get a few more lesbians.
Why not?
She carries on. I'm happy to see Caitlin back. Love her relationship with Craig. Even though I don't mind her popping in from time to time, I would like her to be a regular character.
I don't see the point. That was those scenes last week just for like, oh my God, a bit of time to fill.
Look,
let's bring Caitlin back in.
We always do this, don't we? Going, oh, there should be more colour on the street, more just interesting interactions and colourful characters. And then we have one and we're like, oh, what's the point of that? There's no plot.
I want to see more of them, though. I'm not particularly moaning that it happened. I want to see more of Craig and Caitlin because I think they're really cute together.
They are cute together, but let's not go down the teen pregnancy storyline.
Oh, that'd be quite interesting, actually, wouldn't it? Because considering the role that he played with Faye, and he now knows how to deal with pregnant girls.
He knows where it comes out.
That would exactly. I reckon it might go down there.
Can you imagine Caitlin going, I'm pregnant. Oh, what should I do? And Craig going, don't worry, I know exactly what not to do.
Don't even need to get a book out anymore, I've learnt all about this.
She carries on and says, finally, love the discussion on the different websites and pages about Corrie. I do use some that you discuss, like Coronation Street Blog and Corriepedia, but some I've never heard of and will be checking out for sure.
Mm, and when we're on the subject of that as well, Christine, who runs the Corrie fun pages, sent us a message today that she's updated the design a little bit. It's still very much a similar design, and it's like we said before, it is like a little bit 90s inspired, and she said it was from 1998, but it's just been kind of cleaned up a bit and organized, and
Yeah, she just gave it a little bit of a tweak. Together,
a bit of a
and
tweak.
She also said that she modelled it on the old Coronation Street magazine.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. I didn't know that there was one.
Well, I had a little look into it. And I remember when I went to Granada Studios tour back in the late 90s, I got a copy of a Coronation Street magazine then. And I think it might have even been the last one. I was like so excited to see, oh, there's a Coronation Street magazine.
Oh, no.
And I just looked on eBay before we started recording as well. And there's some issues of this magazine called The Street, and I don't know if that was the same one or not. But it, like,
was the editorial called Word on the Street?
Probably. It was like started in the 80s, and it seemed to be going on until the early 90s or
wow.
so. So I don't know whether it was a different one, but there's nothing about it
but
that I can find.
That was Darren Little's ambition to be the editor when he was a kid.
He probably wrote for it, didn't he?
Probably.
I can't find anything about it. Like, there's no Corrypedia page about this magazine.
That's
I can't
weird.
Do any. No Google search has given me information about it. All I can find is if you go on eBay, you can buy some back copies of The Street for like £5, and I'd be quite tempted to buy one just to have a look at it and see kind of see what was in it.
Write off.
Can you imagine? They'd never make anything like that these days, would they?
Well, although, they've made one. What?
That would be your dream job.
No,
you could do that, couldn't you?
No.
Stand on your head, editing a Coronation Street magazine.
Don't ever do anything for fun as your job.
Oh, yeah. It kind of takes
I know,
it,
from
probably take
sad
the fun out of it, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it just ruins
true.
It.
Okay. So, anyway, thank you to everyone for your feedback. And that is it for now. Apart from, we're going to do a little cabin extra. About cast in going in
who's
and going,
going?
Out
who's
briefly
coming?
If you don't want to stay and listen to that but you would like to get in touch with us, then you can email us. We are conversationstreet@gmail.com, or you can go on our blog conversationstreet.podbean.com. you may tweet us at conversationstreet, you can Facebook us, we're there. You can even send us a message on Skype to say hello. But that's it.
You
so,
can't send us a pigeon.
No, we don't accept those.
No.
Our cat would probably eat it anyway if you did.
She wouldn't know what to do with a pigeon. It's about the same size as her.
She'd look at it.
She's a little runt.
She'd wag her tail at her.
Yeah, go.
Right.
Coming extra, you've been warned. Now
yeah,
we're going to do spoilers.
It's happening right now.
Here we go.
So there were two news stories that broke this week, an in and an out. Well, one of them is a temporary out so
perhaps,
far.
Perhaps, we've
so,
been told.
Well, yeah, Eileen Derbyshire is having a 6-month break from playing Emily. And, I mean, to be honest, they almost wouldn't have even need to, didn't
know,
need
why
to
do
announce
they need to say this
because she's barely
kind of,
in it anyway.
Yeah. Are they just kind of, like, easing us in or something? I feel like it's not worth bothering to mention.
It's like Maria going on maternity leave, or sorry, Sammy Agardi going on maternity leave. It's like, oh, you didn't really need
Did
to mention
go?
It happened.
Who?
Exactly.
All they have to do, if they want to get 6 months' worth of Emily material, is just have her in the snug, drinking some sherry and pursing her lips.
I know, they could just film it all in advance,
outfits,
couldn't they?
And just kind of looking off to the left or looking off to the right,
going,
looking
Norris.
Ahead, and then cut her in, no one would know she wasn't there.
Yeah, but no, they are going to give her a leaving storyline, and it will be that she's gone to visit Spider in Peru, which is maybe not the best place
How
to go if
she?
You're like 85-year-old woman or something.
Good for her.
But, yeah,
she's going to do some protesting.
Exactly, climbing up some Peruvian trees or something.
Stopping the rainforest from being demolished.
What I want to know is what is Spider doing in Peru, and does he have Toya with her? Because the last thing we heard, Toya and Janice were living
Ooh,
together in
maybe,
Liverpool.
Maybe we're bringing back Toya.
Well, maybe. I mean, I'm sure everyone's thinking, is Emily going to come back from this? I mean, we don't know what reason Eileen is going off, and she's such a private person, isn't she?
Yep.
She never does interviews or anything. And if
I
she
think
does
she
have
just,
some
maybe
fun...
she's just like, what do... Because I think some people of that age think, if I stop working, I'm just going to die.
Mm.
I think they're scared of, like, stopping. So maybe she's like, I need to like slow down and have a break and decide whether I want to carry on.
Yeah, well,
that's complete speculation.
I don't think they've said that she's leaving for health reasons or anything, but it could be,
well,
I mean, knowing her, that they wouldn't have said it anyway. But
I think they would be wise to not disclose that information in the future.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly, after what's happened.
Yeah, exactly.
But I do hope that she'll be back safely and soon, because I like a bit of Emily on the Coronation Street. And she's the longest-serving female character on Coronation
yeah.
Street, so it'll be sad if we were to see the last of her. But she will be replaced, in a way, next year by a returning character.
And we're
very,
glad about
very
this.
Excited to hear this, that Pat Phelan is coming back into Coronation
Yay!
Street in April.
We said
so.
He wasn't... sadly underused villain, and there
really
was so
was.
Much potential.
He was an awesome villain, but he just kind of, he was taken away.
He petered out.
In his prime, wasn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, plucked.
He had his wicked way with Anna, and then went away, and it was like, what was that, his last scene then? When's feeling coming back? But that was all we saw. He never, I mean, I think they must be bringing him in because they're thinking, well, we need to have a good villain in Coronation Street. Anyone got any ideas at the moment for a new villain?
No. Let's just bring
Phelan back.
Let's get Callum out of the manhole.
Well, maybe Callum will come out of his manhole and they'll double team with
him. Well, Phelan is a builder, so maybe he'll dig him out.
Well, speaking of the builder, the best theory I heard for him coming back was that he buys the builder's yard, as we are in the spoiler section, and we know that Jason is going to be leaving as well next year. The builders could be free. Because is it Jason's or is it Tony's, or I can't remember, but whoever it belongs to, surely it's going to be freed up around that time. And I think the idea of having Phelan owning the building yard, the builder's yard,
I would
just
love that.
Next to where Anna lives.
Just to annoy everybody.
Just next to where Anna lives. That would be very
It's good having an antagonistic builder on the street.
Phelan was such a kind of a
love
evil,
to hate him.
Yeah, he
guy.
Was. He really, really was.
And also his wife as well. Is he still going to be with her?
Yeah.
Or is he going to be free and single? Or is he going to have...
I think I've got a feeling that he's not going to be having a Mrs. Phelan back. I can't remember what her name was now.
No. I think she'll be gone, to be honest.
Yeah, after
she was only
that
useful for the story.
So he's going to be obviously setting his sights back on Anna again and
terrorising her. And how long
her.
Is it going to be before he moves inexplicably from his mansion to some pokey flat in Victoria Court real reason?
Well, probably his missus has kicked him out, hasn't
she? Probably, because it was all in her name.
Yeah.
All of this.
Oh, yeah, it was, wasn't it?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So he'll probably try and come onto her. It does mean that we're going to be seeing some more scenes of miserable old Anna, isn't it? Kind of mithering and whinging
and
stuff.
Stole my maidenhood. Deflowered me.
I think she'd already been deflowered.
You don't know. I think Gary could have been immaculate.
But anyway, that was really good news. And Connor McIntyre will be, I'm very happy to see him back. Cute gag about yet more Connors on Coronation Street. He's like, can I join the Connor commune, please?
I always thought of Phelan as more of a Liz man.
Oh, yeah, probably.
I always said they had the certain look about them.
Mm.
They got a similar look to them, and I wouldn't be surprised if he starts chatting up Liz. Because he's a nasty guy, and she likes a bit of rough.
Yeah, and Anna is still working as a cleaner in the Rovers, isn't she? So there's another kind of link to it there. Oh, so many possibilities.
Oh.
Very glad to have him back. Looking forward
it's
to
better than the, there's a new character. It's a girl, and she's feisty, but she's got a heart of gold, and she's got beautiful, and it's a bloke, and he's a ladies man, and he's good looking, but he's got...
Cool. Right, we will be back this time next week with more Corrie.
Including
some talk of tonight's episode once we've got around to watching
happen?
It. And hopefully we'll have our
what
Tony Stewart character profile as well. That's promised for this week. Sorry, Tony fans.
Sorry, Tony fans, but this is just stringing you along, so you have to listen
to
next
longer.
Week.
Right, see you next week. Goodbye from me.
Goodbye.
Ta-ra for now. The music for this episode came from podcastthemes.com.